The Lord is blessing me right now. He blessed me early this morning when I rose, clothed in my right mind. It's another day's journey, and we're so glad. Amen. Amen. Thank God for His many blessings that He gives to us, not because of, but in spite of. Amen. We stumble over here and trip over there, but the Lord keeps right on blessing us. Amen. Do want to reiterate that on this Wednesday, we will not have Bible study, and the pastor of Morningstar Missionary Baptist Church will be in revival at Providence Baptist Church in Kernersville, North Carolina. I ask that the deacons, if you will be there to do devotion, and the men's chorus, if you would be there to render music, I'd be so glad. And if our ushers, very faithful ushers, if they will be on duty, and all of you who love me and who support me, amen. If you're not working, amen, if you would come on out. But if you're working, whisper prayer. Amen. I'm going to start being real in here in a minute. Because that's what we really need. We need honesty. Amen. Amen. The truth does set you free. Amen. Well, I do also want to reiterate that on this afternoon at 4 o'clock, Morningstar will have an ordination service for newly elected and installed and ordained deacons at 4 o'clock. Ask that you come back. It's going to be a tremendous milestone because in the first time in the church's 95 years, we'll have some sisters who will be serving as deacons of Morningstar. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come, Lord, to thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we come to you now because no other help we know. We thank you, Lord, this opportunity to share your word. We thank you, Lord, for these your people who have assembled in this place. Ask God that you would hide me behind the cross. More of you and less of me. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Let it be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's in Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Amen. For just a few minutes, I want to call your attention to the passage of Scripture read earlier from the Psalms, the 51st division of Psalm, the Psalm of David, chapter 51, verses 1 through 5, and then verse number 10. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. For just a few minutes, I want to talk from the subject, how are you wired? How are you wired? In other words, how do you function? Thank you, ushers. What drives you? What motivates you? What influences you? What controls you? What governs your life? What gets your engine running? What moves you, and what holds sway over your being? Sisters and brothers, the way a person is wired affects how they think, how they act or how they react, how they behave or how they misbehave, how they get along with others or not get along with others, or how they get along with themselves or not get along with themselves. The author of this particular Psalms is King David himself. And here he is involved in one of the most crucial and critical critiques found anywhere in the Bible. And the Bible, you do know, sisters and brothers, is filled with critiques and criticisms by prophets, priests, apostles, and even Christ Jesus himself. You can find in the Bible criticisms and critiques of people, nations, religious and political leaders who have gone astray, disobeyed God, and fallen into sin. But you would be hard-pressed to find a harsher critique by anyone of themselves. Is that right? In our text, this brother was facing his own issues, focusing on his own problems, dealing with his own difficulties, and wrestling with his own demons. In this text, this brother who has danced to the music is now paying the piper and willing to lay in the hard bed that he had made for himself. This was King David, you know, who the scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. I'm not sure why this is so, but perhaps it was because he spent more time looking in than looking out. He spent more time looking at himself rather than looking at other folk. Or he spent more time evaluating his own motives and actions rather than the motives and actions of other folk. The Lord knows we need more of that. Is that right? Because too many Christians have been known to lay it on when it comes to talking about others. But this brother was talking about himself. Too many Christians have been known to harshly judge other folk. But this brother was judging himself. Too many Christians have been known to point the finger at other folk. But this brother was pointing the finger at himself. Religious people have a way of critiquing and criticizing others, but this brother was critiquing and criticizing himself. Spiritual people have a habit of evaluating those they consider less spiritual than they. But this brother was evaluating himself. And the truth is, in the light of God's word, God's command, and God's law, he found himself wanting, he found himself lacking, and he found himself in need of God's mercy and grace. Is that right? It is apparent that he understood that God desires us to be truthful, not only with him or with others, but also with ourselves. Something or someone had caused him to look inward, and as a result, some say it was the prophet Nathan. He looked in, and because he looked in, I believe he echoed the sentiment of the words of that old gospel tune, not the preacher or the deacon, not my mother, not my father, not sister, brother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Sisters and brothers, our experiences and our encounters in life influence how we are wired. And if we are around negative people, we will be wired negatively. If we're around positive people, we'll be wired positive. If we are around people who have strong faith, our faith will get a little stronger. If we are around people who are always singing the blues, if we are not careful, we'll be singing the blues right along with them. Am I right about it? Unconsciously, we pick up things. I recently woke up and found myself singing a song, and then I wondered why I was singing that song. And then I realized that I had heard it just before I went to sleep. So it was in my spirit. Isn't that how it works? Things that we experience, things that happen to us, and things that we are exposed to precondition us to be wired a certain way. If you've been hurt by a man or a woman, you're wired to distrust men or women. Is that right? If you've been disappointed by a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you're wired to be suspicious of the opposite sex. If somebody did you wrong, you can be wired to be sure that nobody else gets a chance to do you wrong. Am I right about it? How are you wired? There are people in this church who do things a certain way. If you ask them, they don't know how to tell you why. They just do it like that because they're wired that way. Am I right about it? Remind me of a story about a husband and his wife who was home, and he was watching his wife prepare roast. Then as she prepared the roast, she cut the ends off and put it in the pot. And after she got done, she put it in the oven, and the husband said, "Honey, why do you do that?" And she said, "What?" He said, "Cut the ends off." She said, "Well, I don't know. It's just something I learned from my mother." He got on the phone and called the mother and said, "Mama, I want to know why my wife cuts the ends off the roast." She said, "Well, that's something that I taught her to do." And he said, "Well, why do you do it?" She said, "I don't know. That's something I learned from my grandmother." He got on the phone and called his grandmother, or called her mother, and called his grandmother-in-law and said, "Grandma, why is it that you cut the ends of the roast off before you put it in the oven?" She said, "Well, the reason why I did it because the pot was too small and the roast wouldn't fit, so we cut the ends off." How are you wired? And why do you do the things that you do? God wants us to know, when we look in the mirror and are totally honest with ourselves, we will start the process of becoming free from our messes, liberated from our dismal past, and conquerors of our distant faults and failures. The more stuff we face, the more stuff we have power over, and it no longer has power over us. In our text, this brother was facing his stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. Some stuff ought to be between us and God, because you can't share everything with everybody because how they are wired. Some church folk are like a broken refrigerator. They can't keep nothing. You tell them and they tell everybody else. Isn't that right? Sometimes you must remember the words of the hymn writer. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Most of us have been wired to cover up stuff or sweep away messes because of the shame and the guilt that are associated with them. Guilt and shame are powerful emotions. They will make you run from or hide from what you are ashamed of and what you feel guilty about. Can I get a witness? But in our text, this brother looked in the mirror and was honest with himself. And he went to God because he could not find what he needed in anybody else. He needed mercy. So he went to God. He needed forgiveness. So he went to God. He needed healing. So he went to God. He needed grace. So he went to God. And he needed love. So he went to the lover of our soul. Isn't that right? What he needed, he couldn't find anywhere else. So he went to God. Isn't that good news to know? That no matter where we find ourselves, or what we find ourselves in, we can still go to God. And he has just what we need. Isn't that right? Sisters and brothers, we live in a world where we can get our wires crossed. Isn't that right? When we sin, our wires are crossed. When we disobey God, our wires are crossed. When we do not live as Jesus taught, our wires are crossed. And when we follow the world and not the Lord, our wires are crossed. Am I right about it? My good electrician friend, Brother Johnson, will tell you, when your wires get crossed, your power is cut off. Is that right? David understood this. And that's why he pleaded with God, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David had seen what happens to you when God casts you away from his presence and takes his Holy Spirit away from you, because he saw what happened to King Saul. Am I right about it? Saul's wires got crossed and God rejected him. Isn't that right? Anytime we disobey God, our wires are crossed. When we allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies, our wires are crossed. When we allow sin to control our minds, our wires are crossed. And when we allow sin to live in the rule in our lives, our wires are crossed. David saw what happened to Saul. And I can imagine he must have felt like the old hymn writer and begin to say, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, please, Lord, don't pass me back. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief." Ain't God all right? In every appliance, there are two wires. And if those two wires touch each other, it will cause a short circuit or a power outage. It's like that in the spirit. When sin crosses our spiritual wires, in other words, when sin touches our lives, the spiritual power that comes from God is cut off. In the natural world, when the power is off, we know it because nothing comes on. Am I right about it? You hit the light switch, nothing comes on. You turn on the TV, nothing comes on. You try to make a phone call, but nothing comes on. Is that right? Saul's power went out, and he did not know it because of how he was wired. And he kept doing what he had been doing. But when David's power went out because of how he was wired, he got down on his knees and began to pray to God, "Have mercy on my soul, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge the wrong that I've done, and my sin is always in front of me." David's power was cut off, and he knew he was in danger of having a permanent power failure. That's why he prayed, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities." Ain't God all right? These are the words of a man who has come to grips with who he is and what he is. A sinner in need of a Savior. You can say what you want to about the psalmist David. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. And he was a sinner. But I'm here to tell you, he was an honest sinner. At first, he was honest with himself. Is that right? And then he was honest with God. Am I right about it? That's why he could write what he wrote. You can't get right with God. And you can't be in a life relationship with the Lord without first being honest. Is that right? The truth is, all of us at some point in our lives need our wires rearranged. Is that right? David asked God to rewire him. Am I right about it? How are you wired? How are you wired? Preacher, what's wrong with the church? Well, sisters and brothers, it's because there are people in it who have not recognized that they need to be rewired. Some attitudes need to be adjusted. Some spirits need to be reoriented. Some lifestyles need to be refocused. And some dispositions need to be realigned with the Word of God. There may be some things you and I won't do. But all of us have been wired to sin. The psalmist said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David knew he needed to be rewired. Isn't that right? Sisters and brothers, some folks are wired to be nasty. Some are wired to be mean. Some are wired to be suspicious. Some are wired to hold grudges. Some are wired in such a way that they don't work well with other folks. Can you imagine that in a church? Well, all of us at some point in our lives need to be rewired. Am I right about it? Thank you, Lord. Some people are wired in such a way that they will follow their family before they follow God. If they have to make a choice between the Lord and their family, God will have to wait. They need to be rewired. If we are insecure, we need to be rewired. If we are hateful, we need to be rewired. If we are mean-spirited, we need to be rewired. If we are angry all the time, we need to be rewired. If we refuse to follow the pastor that the Lord has sent, you need to be rewired. If you know you're not where God wants you to be, as a Christian, tell your neighbor, God's rewiring me. God's rewiring me. God rewind me so I can live right, pray right, live right, walk right, talk right, behave right, and treat other folks right. We all have to be rewired to be a part of God's kingdom. Isn't that right? Because when you're wired like Adam, and we all are, sin comes naturally. But when you are like Jesus, righteousness comes naturally. When you are like Adam, it's all about you. But when you are like Jesus, it's all about God. When you are like Adam, you're selfish. But when we rewire like Jesus, we learn to deny ourselves. When we rewire like Adam, it's easy to hate others. But when we rewire like Jesus, we learn to love our enemies. When we rewire like Adam, we get angry when God blesses other folk. But when we rewire like Jesus, we rejoice when other folks are blessed. How are you wired? Thank you, Lord. Sisters and brothers, these are the words of a man who didn't just meet God, but he'd been on the road for a while. He had a relationship with the Lord, but his wires got crossed. His wires got crossed. Am I right about it? Your wires get crossed when you listen to gossip, when you follow rumors. Your wires get crossed when you don't pray as much as you ought to do. Your wires get crossed when you don't study your Bible, don't come to Sunday school, don't come to Bible study. Your wires get crossed. But I want you to know, God is not done rewiring me, and he's not done rewiring.
than you either. Because I was sometimes get crossed. When our eyes get crossed, it leads to a short circuit, and the power is knocked out. Do I have a witness? Sin caused humankind. Why is it get crossed? Listen to David. I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, I grew up around sin. My papa was a rolling stone, and wherever he laid his hat was his home. Daddy drank liquor, mama did drugs. He ran the street, and when he died, all he left us was alone. I know sin well because it's in my genes. Ain't God all right? Some people are wired when they are hurt, when they are disappointed, they throw temper tantrums. Am I right about it? But those who have been rewired learn to hold their peace and let the Lord fight their battles. Some come undone when they don't get their way, while those who've been rewired know in God's own time our change will come. Some people lose it when they don't get their way, while those who have been rewired know how to wait on the Lord and be a good coach, because he will strengthen their heart. When they don't mean why, doesn't mean you don't hurt, doesn't mean you don't feel pain. It just means you act differently. Am I right about it? Ain't God good? You learn to do good to those who despitefully use you. You learn to do unto others as they would have them do unto you. They talk about you, but you've been rewired. So you get out on your knees and you pray for them. Ain't God all right? Well, I've held you too long, but I'm reminded of a story. There was a man who had trusted in his talents, his gifts, his abilities, and all that he had achieved. But then something happened. The depression hit his house. He lost his job. He lost his fortune. He lost his wife. He lost his home. And the only thing that it seemed like he managed to hold on to was his faith. One day, he stopped to watch men doing some stonework on a huge church. One of them was chiseling on a triangular piece of rock. So the man stopped and asked the workman, "What are you doing with that stone?" The worker responded, "Do you see that little opening way up there near the steeple?" He said, "Yes." "Well, I'm shaping this stone down here so it will fit when it gets up there." Tears filled the man's eyes as he walked away, because in that moment, God had spoken through the workman to explain everything that he had been through. He knew that God was shaping him, molding him, fixing him, and rewiring him for a better, a brighter, and a more glorious future. Arrogance had brought him low, but faith in God
had lifted him up. So sisters and brothers, if your wires are crossed, don't worry about it. Because I heard James say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. If your wires are crossed, don't worry about it. Because I heard Jesus say, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If your wires are crossed, don't worry about it. Because I heard Paul say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If your wires are crossed, don't worry about it. Because I heard the Lord say, come now, let us reason together. Save the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. If your wires are crossed, don't worry about it. Because the hymn writer lets us know, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath the flood and lose all their guilty stain. If your wires are crossed, don't worry about it. Because the hymn writer is right. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. If your eyes are crossed, don't worry about it. Because God will answer prayer. If your eyes are crossed, don't worry about it. Because God will come see about you. If your wires are crossed, don't worry about it. Because they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you see me and it looks like my wires are crossed, don't worry about it. Because I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. When I get through working on the building, I'm going up to get my reward. If you see me and it looks like my wires are crossed, don't worry about it. In the words of James Cleveland, please be patient with me, because God not through with me yet. If your wires are crossed, don't worry about it, because our God specializes in rewiring broken men, wounded women, hurting children, lost souls, and tender people. Ain't it alright? Ain't it alright? Won't it pick you up? Won't it turn you around? Won't it plant your feet on solid ground? Has it done anything for you? Say it!
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
How are you wired?